This week, I got an article from Matt Morton. He sent me an article, the title of which was Kids' Memories Beat Adults' Memories Hands Down. Okay, kids' memories beat adults' memories hands down. For those of us who are over 50, not a big surprise, right? Just a short time ago, I got in my car, I started driving, and after a few minutes, I realized that I didn't know where I was going. Right? I mean, I just started, and you know, periodically, I will bump into people out in the community. It's kind of out of context, and my mental Rolodex will begin to spin because I can't place the name, and I've known him forever. In fact, one time, I sat down with my doctor, and I said, I mean, shoot straight with me. Please tell me, like, do I have early onset Alzheimer's? I mean, what's going on here? And he just laughed. He said, no, that's just a natural progression of time and aging. And so what really stood out to me, caught my attention in this article that Matt sent me, was first the illustration and then the reason that they gave, the argument for why we begin to age. So the illustration was household pets, specifically cats. Okay, so the illustration was about cats, and according to the illustration, then I'll tell you the principle that they derive from it, children look at a cat, and they're really dialed in, and they're seeing all the details, and they can identify specifically what cat that is. They realize that's their cat, that's my cat, that's Whiskers. They identify a specific cat. Adults, on the other hand, because we have so much clutter in our mind, so much information, and we're so distracted, we immediately put things into categories. And we just say, that's a cat. Now, the reason I like that illustration is because it gives me an excuse to never remember any of the names of my daughter's cats. And, you know, if you don't go to Anderson, you go, oh my gosh, what a jerk. I'm glad I don't go to Anderson. If you go to Anderson, you go, yeah, that's just Brian. He, you know, that's how he feels about household pets. But I thought it was a really interesting illustration. The principle being this, as we grow older, we naturally begin to progress because our minds become filled and our hearts are divided and distracted by so many things. And so it's important for us as a spiritual discipline just to stop and remember. Stop and intentionally remember. In fact, that's what Moses told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. He said, "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all of the days of your life, but make them known to your children and to your grandchildren." The context is really important in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You'll remember that Israel had been enslaved and they cried out to God and they said, "Rescue us." And God heard the cries of his people and he came down and he delivered them out of slavery. And he did so in dramatic fashion. He put to shame all of the so-called gods of Egypt. He demonstrated his power over them. And he parted the Red Sea. And he brought his people into the wilderness. And after bringing them into the wilderness, he brought to them through Moses the law. And Moses brought them the law and they said, "God, we believe in you. We worship you. You're the God who's delivered us. You've rescued us. You've made us into a people. We now have an identity in you. You are our God. We are your people." And they said, "God, all that you've commanded us, we will do." And then Moses went back on the mountaintop to get more revelation from God. And as soon as he got to the mountaintop, the people forgot God. And they made a golden calf and they said, "This is our God. That's a God. This is a God. We have a God. This is our God." And they forgot God. God forgave them and God restored them and he moved them on a little further. And after moving them on, he brought them into the wilderness and they became thirsty. And they began to complain against God and against Moses and Aaron. They forgot God. They forgot his power. They forgot his provision for them. So God provided again and they said, "You're our God. We worship you because you've provided for us water to drink." And then they became hungry and they forgot God's power. They forgot God's provision and God provided for them quail. He provided for them manna and they remembered. They said, "You are our God. We remember." And then he took them a little bit further and he took them to the edge of the promised land. He says, "This is the land that I have prepared for you." So they sent in spies so they could figure out how to conquer the land. But when the spies came back, 10 out of the 12 said, "We can't do it. The people are too big in the land." And they forgot God's power. They forgot God's provision. They forgot the manna in the wilderness. They forgot the quail. They forgot the water. They forgot the parting of the Red Sea. They forgot God's beauty and his glory over the temple, the fire and the smoke. They forgot. And so God took that generation and they wandered around in the wilderness until they died. And then God brought them again to the edge of the promised land. And God spoke again through Moses a second time. That's Deuteronomy, the second law. And he added to the law and he said, now I want you to never, ever forget. But remember. Remember. Remember God's power. Remember God's provision. Remember all of the great things God has done for you. And so this evening, I want us to remember three things. Okay, first, remember who you are and whose you are. Okay, remember who you are and whose you are. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul wrote, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Drawing on that imagery of the Exodus, he says, you were born into slavery, but what God has done for you is he has rescued you out of darkness, out of death, out of slavery, and he has made you his own. He's given you an identity. You now belong to God, and you are a part of his family, a part of his kingdom. Your identity has been changed. Your destiny has been changed. Everything about you has been changed because God has rescued you. Paul would also say in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You're not slaves, you're sons, you're daughters. You belong to God. You're his family, you have value. It's been said that the twin battle that rages inside the human heart is with pride and with fear. These are the principles that just kind of wage war in our souls, pride and fear. But when we remember who we are and whose we are, pride becomes a humble dignity. We belong to the creator of the universe. God is our Father. We have value to God. Pride becomes a humble dignity. We matter in the universe. Fear becomes confidence. The creator of the universe has marked us with his image. People can look at us and they can see the image of God reflected through us. The creator, the sustainer, the one who has made all things says, I want you to reflect who I am to the people around you. You have value. You have importance. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are and who you belong to. You've been rescued out of darkness. You've been brought into the family of God. You're sons and daughters. You're not slaves any longer. Second, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done for you. And it's interesting in the Bible, we are instructed not just to kind of remember God generally. He's not just a God, but to remember very specifically who he is and what he's done. Carlos read earlier Psalm chapter 48, where we're instructed, the Jews were instructed, walk around Jerusalem, and as you walk around the walls, count the towers. And it wasn't a numerical command, right? Not literally count the towers. The idea was every time you come to a new tower, remember what God did there. And remember what God did there. And remember his faithfulness in that moment. And remember when you were in that crisis and he rescued you and delivered you. Remember when you needed provision and God gave to you. Remember how he has changed your life, how he's changed your family, how he's affected you. Count the towers. In other places, they were instructed to set up Ebenezers, that is, stones of remembrance. Make a pile and make every stone meaningful. So when you see that, you remember all of the specific ways that God has worked on your behalf. Remember what God has done for you. I enjoyed standing on the side and listening to Matt's retelling of the history of Grace Bible Church and how it intersected his life and Shannon's life. When new staff comes in, usually I get to have that moment where I kind of remind everyone of the history. And I love recounting our history because it reminds me that God has been faithful to Grace Bible Church. We didn't get here on our own. I think it was Chuck Swindoll who said, if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know one thing for certain, he didn't get there on his own, right? And we didn't get here on our own. Similar to Mike's story, my family came here in 1980 and Grace Bible Church was about 300 and it continued to grow. When I came on staff, we had four pastors. We have 18 and there are 100 people on our staff and there are four campuses. And I just look back, I go, wow, this is 100% to the credit of Jesus Christ and what he's chosen to do. May he increase and may we decrease. May our names be forgotten. We are not here to celebrate the name Grace Bible Church, but to celebrate Jesus Christ and what he's done. I also want to give honor to those who went before us and made sacrifices so that we could be here, some of whom are with Jesus. Mike mentioned Harry Coyle, and there's also Dick Davison and Jack Lunsford. Some are with Jesus. Jack may be here even this evening. Some are still worshiping with us. I want to acknowledge that we're here because of your service and your sacrifice, the sacrifices that your families made. I was remembering just yesterday, Hebrews 13, verse 7 says this: "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Third, remember why we are here. Grace Bible Church has been around for 57 years, and nothing has changed about our mission and our calling. In 57 years, our mission, our calling is exactly the same as when Grace Bible Church started. That is, we want to introduce people to Jesus Christ. We want to help them begin a relationship with Christ. We want to help them grow in a relationship with Christ. We want to help them reproduce the life of Christ in others. That's why we're here. It's really simple. It's a simple mission. It has never changed. That's why we're here. Why? Because that's what life is about. Right? No matter what other callings we may have in life, and no matter what other things we may do with our time and our energies, all of those are given to us as gifts through which we can introduce people to Jesus Christ and draw them into the family, because people matter to God. I remember when I was in college, it was that moment when I began to think, you know, what really matters? I want to invest in what really matters. What matters? Well, we're told God's word is enduring, right? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God lasts forever. It's true. It's enduring. Stick with it. And second, people who are made in the image of God, they last, they matter. So why not invest our lives in bringing people into an intersection with their lives with Jesus Christ, who's revealed in the Word of God? Nothing matters like that. And so we need to stop and remember, God has called us to this. Our calling has not changed. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to imagine this scene. It's a scene that's described in Revelation chapter 7. This is where history is going. And if history is going this direction, why would we not live for this moment? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. The Apostle John writes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, that's right, truly, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen.'" Amen, church? So let's remember, we're part of something much greater than ourselves. It's our little church that's part of the body of Christ. We're part of a movement of what Jesus is doing on earth, where he's bringing honor and glory to himself. Let's remember that. Let's remember his past faithfulness, because it gives us confidence in the present. It gives us hope for the future. It reminds us that we have a mission, we have a purpose, we have a calling in life, and let's never forget that. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that we would not abandon our calling. I pray that we would remember that we belong to you. I pray that we would remember we have value because we're made in your image, because you declared that we were worth the sacrifice of your son. We were that valuable to us that you're willing to rescue us out of slavery to sin and death. I pray that that would give us confidence in our lives on a daily basis, that we would live with courage. I pray, Father, that we would not forget or abandon the calling that you have placed on our lives, and that you would be honored, pleased, glorified with all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.